This is Jeffrey Sherman, and you're listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Welcome to show number 179 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we've got celebrity artist Kevin John, and he's going to talk to us about the Disney artwork he's been doing for the Disney parks. Before we get to that, however, we're going to announce the winners of our contest. If you remember, back on show 177, we did the See It, Fix It show. Basically, what we did is we decided that if we saw something in the park that could be tweaked, well, we try to tweak it. We talk about it and see what we thought about that. Well, after that show, we asked you to comment on the Facebook posting of the show, and for everybody that posted, they were entered into the contest for a shirt and two decals. Well, we had so many people respond, and thank you so much for replying back. We really appreciate it. Well, we had so many people reply that we actually added a shirt and a decal. So, for a total of two shirts and three decals, here are our winners. For the decals, we had Kim Good Scott, Elizabeth Mazzelli Selgrath, and Jessica Ann. They won the Disney Nerds Podcast decal. For the shirt winners, we had Joey Sotel, or Sottle, or Sottile, sorry about that, Joey, and Heidi Lovin Summer Thiel. So, get in touch with Joe Spady, that's S-P-A-D-Y, Joe Spady, on Facebook, and he'll get you your items. Thanks again for everybody that participated. There were some really good ideas. And I think we're probably going to have to do a show and kind of talk about them. So look forward to that show down the road. And without further ado, here's Jimmy and Charlotte with our special guest, Kevin John. Take it away, Jimmy.
Hello, guys. This is Jimmy. And this week, I'm lucky enough to have Charlotte with me. Charlotte, hey, how's it going?
Hey, Jimmy, it's going great. I'm so glad to be back. It's been a while since I've been on, and I've missed you. So
I feel glad
to be on tonight.
I feel like it's been a little while since I've gotten to talk to you, so I'm glad to have you back.
And absolutely, thanks.
This is a great episode for you to come back. This week, we're so lucky and blessed to have Disney artist Kevin John on the air with us. Hey, Kevin John, how are you, man?
Good. Thank you so much for having me on. It's great to talk with you guys.
Man, we truly appreciate your time. I know your time is valuable, and we truly appreciate you coming on. I know our fans are going to appreciate you coming on. So, Kevin John, just to just give us a little background, just on you, just so the fans who are listening understand everything about you, know, just a good brief overview of you.
Sure. I am a professional artist, and I guess it's timely to talk about the fact that here in 2017 I am celebrating my 30th anniversary as a my business. I started my senior year in high school, 1987, selling my artwork professionally back in my hometown of Erie, Pennsylvania. Since then, I have grown to create art for collectors, celebrities, sports figures all over the world. And, worked over a 25-year period of building my brand. I moved to sunny Florida 5 years ago. And I live on the east coast of Florida on the Little Barrier Island. I find it to be absolute paradise. And I got a phone call about 4 years ago from my favorite company and yours, Disney, that offered me a master artist contract to create original theme park-based art for their art galleries.
First of all, 30 years as an artist, and starting when you're a senior in high school, and you probably were getting a lot of that, you'll never make it as an artist. You know, that's why I have a 17-year-old, and there are certain things that she says she's going to do in life, and I'm like, you're never going to make it as that. But, I mean, you found your passion, and just looking through your gallery on your website is amazing. You have really, from your sports all the way up to Disney, it just, it all flows so well. And it, for 30 years, that I just think that's a feat, and congratulations on that milestone.
Thank you. It's something I'm very proud of, and it certainly has not come without a lot of stumbles along the way, you know, a lot of pitfalls, as well as you know, amazing wins. The wins became more and more just around the turn of the century, and I like to say since then it's been, you know, like gasoline on a fire, you know, but making, right, you know, the important, you know, that those first 10 very important, very difficult, very hard years, you know, those are your formidable years, and, mm-hmm, you know, forming any company. And I was able to really build the brand, hard scrabble, you know, for those, mm-hmm, first 10 years. And it's been a wonderful ride. Certainly don't want to try and do it all again.
No, of course not. But
it's been wonderful.
How much do you think your art has changed over the past? And look, I don't in any way want to compare, you know, podcasting with the type of art you do, but in some ways it is an art, and you know, we're 180 or so shows in, and I go back to the first 10 episodes we did, and I'm like, I wouldn't want anybody to even listen to them.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering how that is as an artist in the medium you do it, that you do, that, you know, you go back and look at things that you did maybe in the first 5 years or the first 10 years.
Yeah. I can only speak for myself on this as an artist. I don't know how other artists are, but for me, it's a continual growth and continual progression. Pieces that you will look at of mine, even from, you know, 10, 12, 15 months ago, are the work that I'm doing currently is light years ahead of where that was. However, at that time, that was light years ahead of the work that I had done, you know, a year prior to the previous to that. It's a continual growth. I'm very, very hard on myself in terms of critique and pushing and trying to change my work. It is, if you look at my, I don't like looking at my work that's 5 years old.
Okay.
You know, it's difficult because I see the flaws everywhere. However, at that time, you know, there were not flaws, you know, that I saw. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. In that regard, if you look at my work, even from the turn of the century, all of my work was black and white prior to that. I'm colorblind. I can't see.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
On. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a horribly, I am a horrible example, I think, of how you should do this thing. I'm colorblind, so I shouldn't be painting at all, probably. I never went to college, and you know, I just have a high school education, so I don't have any formal training over and above an incredibly wonderful art teacher in high school. So it's just all been constant work, you know. This is something that for the greater part of, you know, the last really, again, 30 years, you know, it's been, you know, 60 hours a week. You know, it's constant. And it's constant improvement and searching and trying to grow and improve the work. And I think about just about 2003 is when we got the call from ESPN to create art live on television at sporting events. And the only caveat was that they wanted me to work in color. And so I was really forced almost at gunpoint to learn how to see colors that I couldn't see and to, you know, paint with colors that I, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, so it's been an interesting journey for sure. So, yeah, the work has really changed incredibly. I try and project, you know, and think about, you know, what I'm going to be doing, you know, 5 years from now. I always said, you know, when I was doing the black and white work, I'm a very competitive person. And I, you know, I would say, you know, it's these people, they do not want me, you know, meaning my competition, you know, does not want me working in color. Do not let me start with that. And then once I really got a handle on it, I'm like, it's over. It's just over. It's lights out now, you know? So, I still have a long way to go. There are things that I try and learn daily. You know, I'm mixing all of my own colors now. Nothing that I use, none of the colors that I use are tubed, you know, so to speak. You know, if there's a need for a particular green, you know, that's all mixed. It's not, you know, straight out of a tube. So I'm very, very proud of the strides that I've made with that. So,
I mean, I think that's
amazing.
Fantastic. And, you know, I think about you talking about that and you say, you know, you can go back 10 years and look and you see flaws. But, you know, the way I look at it is that, you know, without that work and those flaws, you wouldn't have grown over time to be the artist you are today and that you will be in the future. So
absolutely.
All those, you know, those are just mm-hmm. building blocks on being, you know, the best you can be. So that's yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
So earlier you were talking about, just when you were kind of doing an overview about Disney approaching you to be a master artist.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? Did they find you? Is that something you know, you kind of submit your portfolio for and you hope that they pick you? What's the process on that?
Yeah, I know that there's a submission process, you know, to be, you know, hired as an employee, which is not what I wanted. So I never pursued that. They, you know, I built my brand to where I think I was selling enough art in the marketplace nationally that they took notice and they wanted a piece of it. So they contacted me. It really came out of the blue. I've long loved the company. Walt has been a career template for me for many, many, many years. I certainly have always loved the product. It's always been with me. You know, I was born in 1969, so it wasn't too far after, you know, Walt's passing and you know, the old black and white Wonderful World of Disney's and then, of course, the Wonderful World of Color were, you know, on regular television at that point when I was, you know, very, very young. So Walt and his company has always been a part of my life in one regard or another. And being an artistic person, you know, I've always been fascinated with what they did artistically. certainly the theme parks is really where my heart lives. It's always been my getaway, my escape, my vacation spot, that place that you would go to shut out the rest of the world, you know, and
yes.
be absorbed into the worlds that are created there. So mm-hmm. I never wanted to mess with that. I love sports, and the blessing and the curse of working with sports as I did with my sports art brand, I ruined sports for me. You know, you get a peek behind the curtain, so to speak, and, you know, you see the ugly side. You get to know the business side. And then also you become yes. popular. You become popular in that arena. And so going to a game is no longer and just relaxing and enjoying it is no longer possible. You know, you're either thinking about work mm-hmm. or you're talking with folks that know you, your work, and, you know, they want time and that's all wonderful. But what it did was erase that that portion of relaxation from my life.
Became a job. You
know? Yeah, yeah. So mm-hmm. So I never wanted to do that with Disney. So when they first contacted me, I didn't understand really what they wanted. I knew that I didn't want to become an employee because I own my own company, and now I own two companies and starting a third. I'm busy on my own, doing what I do with the Kevin John brand. I'm also not an animator, and I'm not a character artist. You know, I did not want mm-hmm. you know, create paintings of Mickey Mouse. I mean, it's just not where I live, you know. It's not something that was appealing to me. And of course there are much better character artists out there than I. So I didn't see the fit. So I kind of put off the advances for a while. And maybe it was a month and a half or so. And, you know, the contact came again. And, you know, my girlfriend finally said, you know, why don't you just take the meeting, see what they want? What's it going to hurt? You know, we'll drive in into town and meet with them. And worst case scenario, we spend an afternoon, you know, at the Magic Kingdom or something.
Sure.
So I took the meeting, and immediately I got what they wanted from me, and that was providing the Disney art galleries with original art, and then art that could be printed and from the originals. And they wanted me to focus on the attractions within the theme parks.
Nice.
Because, again, of my, you know, that stylized realism that I paint with, they really didn't have anybody that was doing that. I mean, there's less than 30 of us in the world to begin with, you know, these artists that are, you know, considered Disney master artists that contribute to this program. So there's not a lot of us, and most are character artists. Mm-hmm. They had a need, and my style fit their need. So it was a great thing, because I was still, and it is a great thing. I'm still able to keep my company running and grow. And then I'm able to work with, you know, Walt's company and create art for his company. And, you know, it's really a dream come true. I couldn't have asked for a better situation, for Kevin John brand.
I think, you know, so I think it's really interesting, you know, just talking about what you do and that you're not a character artist. They brought you in to be, you know, to do stuff for the attractions and the parks, mm-hmm. which for us, myself, and I know I speak for Charlotte and just about all of the, you know, our co-hosts that are normally on, we are Disney nerds, which means we probably love everything that Disney encompasses, including the movies and the history of Walt and all that stuff. But the thing that really brings us together is the theme parks, right? So that's
yes.
and that's a big, huge niche, and that's we focus a lot of our time on that, on not just us, but other people and friends that we have in the Disney community, and it's the parks that really tie all of us together.
Yeah, so for sure.
That's so awesome, the stuff that you do, because things like, you know, the Haunted Mansion. Yeah, I love the attraction poster, but you know what? a specific piece that you did with the Hatbox Ghost or the Caretaker is so, you know, so much different and something that wasn't really offered that, you know, before that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And that's and that's exactly it, Jimmy. It's, you know, there was a gap there, you know, that and I know that, you know, just from being a fan. I mean, I would go to the parks on, you know, vacationing down from up north and, you know, would look to bring things home that really, you know, artwork that spoke to the parks, mm-hmm. and beyond some, you know, posters that were, you know, promotional posters, that sort of thing from the original park and, you know, some from Disney World, you know, the Raleigh Crump stylings and that sort of thing that sure. you can, take home. There really wasn't anything that really spoke about the attractions. I can remember specifically, you know, looking for something, Headless Horseman, anything, mm-hmm. anything Headless Horseman. And it's my favorite Disney character, you know. And
I love the Headless Horseman.
Me too. And couldn't find anything. And so here I am, I think it was 2 years ago, I was able to create that piece, that Headless Horseman piece in Liberty Square. You know, he's depicted on the horse in Liberty Square, so that, you know, someone could, you know, collect that and take it home with them. So it was a huge, you know, skin pincher, so to speak. You know, I'm providing the product that I most wanted when I was, you know, just a fan before,
right.
You know,
that's fantastic.
So does Disney give you direction on what they want you to paint, or do you have pretty much free will of what you want to paint?
Yeah, I've got really free rein. We have real good conversations about, you know, what piece I'll be developing next. You know, if there's an anniversary coming up, like there was some conversation that occurred because of the upcoming Pirates movie, and certainly the Pirates of the Caribbean celebrating its 50th anniversary out west. Mm-hmm. You know, there was some discussion about, you know, putting together something, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean related. That's the piece that I just completed for the company. It's the skeleton helmsman holding his ship against the storm. So,
yes.
So that's the new piece that will premiere this summer. The original is already sold. So most of my originals are sold before they're even painted. You know, I'm very, very fortunate that way. People kind of get on a list, and then when I announce the next piece, there's kind of a first right of refusal type of thing. So there's conversation. For instance, right now I'm developing concept sketches for my next piece, which is the Jungle Cruise. And I sent an email, 2 weeks ago and just, you know, asked, you know, what direction would they want me to go in next? Was there anything specific? And, you know, the answer was, you know, let's focus on, you know, the classics, several of which I've already covered. So, you know, I said Jungle Cruise, and they were like, "Yeah, let's take a look at the concept sketches." So
nice.
That's I guess the next step is the development of those concepts. What is this going to look like? And it kind of starts the visual conversation between me and the company to come up with the piece that we both want.
I think it's. Mm-hmm. I've been watching your Jungle Cruise pieces. As you've been doing them, probably for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And I found it interesting that some of the things you kind of stumbled upon. Like, I think one of your posts said, you know, oh, who knew elephants are more popular than hippos, or something
yeah,
like
right.
that. So I think that's great though to test that market like that, because then you know, you know, this is going to sell better than this just based upon these sketches.
Yeah. Yeah, landslide too. Like, it was almost disdain people had for the for the hippos.
And I enjoyed the hippos, but the elephants were pretty cool.
I thought the hippos are cute.
Yeah, I think they're so cool. I mean, some people say, yeah, but the elephants are iconic. Well, the hippos aren't iconic. You know, I mean, come on, you know. Where's all the hate, the hippo hate coming from?
It's funny. I thought it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah. So we will focus in on the elephants. The company agreed that that's probably the way to go after seeing the different interpretations that I sent over to them. So tomorrow, actually, I'll be fleshing out what I'll consider the final concept that then I'll send over to Disney. They'll sign off on it. It'll go through legal, make sure everything looks good, and then I'll pursue the turning that into, you know, the final fine painting.
So let me ask you a question. So you said the pirate, the helmsman that you did, the original sold. If somebody wanted an original, would you do that same piece on, like, as a commission piece? Or is that done? You just know, I'll do something similar, but not that piece over.
People can contact me privately and commission original art of any subject, you know, whether that's sports figure or Disney, whatever. Yeah, sure. Certainly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious. I didn't know how the artistic view of that, like, you know, once it's done, and I'm not going to recreate the same thing all over again.
I always say if people are willing to pay my rates, I'll paint whatever they want to paint. Whatever they want. Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. Yeah.
Is there anything that you are, like, chomping at the bit to get to? Is there some attraction in the theme parks that you're like, I cannot wait to cover this?
I'm really looking forward to Star Wars Land.
Oh yeah.
Yes, me too.
You know, Disney does not own the right to create Star Wars art. That's still grandfathered in with a couple other publishing companies.
Interesting.
So right now, for Disney, I could not create Star Wars art. However, once those properties are placed in the parks, then I'll be able to recreate what is in the park, what's featured in the parks.
Maybe not necessarily out of the movie, but if there's a cantina in the park and you want to do a rendering of it, you could, because it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
It exists a little bit different than it does in the movie.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, that's very awesome. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, Star Wars was, you know, again, I was born in 69, so I'm a kid of the 70s. You know, I was in third grade. My first, you know, really, really good drawings were Star Wars. You know, I mean, I was, you know, I'm not one of these new, you know, Johnny come lately Star Wars fans. I've been loving Star Wars since, you know, the first film. And I'm not talking about the first film in...
Not Jar Jar Binks.
No, I'm not talking, I'm talking about A New Hope, the real dope, Luke Skywalker, you know, when Solo was a badass, you know, the whole nine yards, you know.
I'm a little bit younger, but I agree. I mean, my dad had it on, like, my dad would roll out the Star Wars, like, on the projector in the living room. You know, I was born in 75, so I was only two. Okay. But I remember those movies. I mean, by the time, you know, Empire Strikes Back and The Return of the Jedi came out, I was old enough to really appreciate them, so I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I had, you know, I mean, those were my toys when I was a kid, you know. That's
yes.
You know, so I'm very excited to be able to do that in an official capacity. I guess for now, what is, you know, I'm really excited about the Jungle Cruise piece. You know, I love the Jungle Cruise. I did a Tiki Room piece last year. You know, I just covered Pirates, so I'm you know, kind of, you know, handling that whole area right now. And so I'm living there in my soul. You know, it's kind of part of me right now. So I'm really excited about that. You know, I definitely will be revisiting the mansion before the end of the year. I want to do a bride that can be the partner to my Hatbox Ghost.
Nice.
Nice.
And you just, I think those are the ones that I'm most excited about this year.
And Big Thunder's right around the corner there, so you have Big Thunder and Splash. Man, there's so, I feel like there's so many untold stories about Big Thunder, and I feel like so much has been done.
Yeah.
Something right next to Jungle Cruise, Jimmy, the Swiss Family Treehouse. I mean, there could be some great art coming out of that.
Yeah, the problem there is that there's no, you know, there's no gift shop there, which makes it real difficult. I would probably get, you know, some pushback from the company there. You know, there are so many other classics that I need to tackle first before I would go to the Treehouse. Yeah.
What's interesting is that I recently did in January did the Keys to the Kingdom tour.
Okay.
And that is the tree, and I never would have guessed, because as they took us around, we talked about, you know, what the draw into each land was, and I never would have guessed. I would have thought the big house where the tiki room is, but the guy told us no, that the Swiss Family Treehouse was that was supposed to be like the draw into Adventureland from that spot. And I'm like, I didn't get it.
Huh.
Well, it certainly looked a lot different when the park opened as well. You have to remember, there was the swan boats that would have taken a tour around the treehouse in that lagoon area, that river, I guess, that's down there, and the film was more relevant. Yeah. I mean, I can remember, you know, it being on television when I was a kid, you know, and seeing specials about it and stuff like that. So, I love the attraction. I think it's really, really interesting. It's a great story. But again, on the list of things that I need to accomplish first, that's probably down on the list a little way.
True. Yeah. Hit the more popular ones, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, back to your Star Wars art, I just have to say, on your website, KevinJohnStudio.com,
yes.
I am in love with your Yoda original painting so much. My kids, I was in first grade when you were in third grade, so I was playing Star Wars and was always relegated to being Leia. But that Yoda,
but you always wanted to be
Yoda? My
kids
call me Yoda. That's my nickname. My kids always call me Yoda. So
you look nothing like Yoda, Charlotte.
Well, thank God for that. But I'm as wise as him, I guess, and I speak in riddle. So, but that's your Star Wars art. Just going back to that is fantastic. So I am super, super excited to see what you do with that
when
Star Wars Land comes up. So I'll be bidding for pieces. I'll be like, oh, I want that in my house.
Thanks so much.
Kevin John, how often do you guys make it over to the parks now that you're a Floridian?
About once a month. When the first 6 months that we were here, we were probably in the parks once a week. But it's just, the last 5 years have been just incredibly busy, and we can't get away. I mean, it's only an hour and a half away, but it's a day, and we don't get, I probably get 4 days off a month, and probably one of those is spent, at the Disney park. There's other stuff that we like to enjoy on those other days off.
Sure, absolutely. Florida has a lot of great things to do.
Yeah.
So much to offer there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really, and that's, we haven't even scratched the surface. I mean, there's St. Augustine, which is amazing. Miami's 3 hours away. The Keys. There are so many things we haven't even gotten a chance to get to. I can't believe, I've been here 5 years and I haven't been to the Keys yet. But I'm too busy, trying to, see the things that are up here on the coast.
Did you have a presence or a booth at the when we were there in January? and when I did the Keys of the Kingdom tour, that was the initial weekend of the Festival of the Arts.
Yeah.
Did you participate in that, or was that just mainly like artists that work for Disney, or?
Actually, it's those are licensees.
Okay.
Or I think that there were a couple of, you know, employees. Disney would have to pay me to be there.
Gotcha.
Where a licensee has to pay Disney to be there.
So, and they're looking to sell their art, and that's the benefit for them, is they get to push their art.
Yeah, my art's going to be selling in the galleries whether I'm there or not. It sells on property. The licensees, you know, they want to boost their and they're publishing companies that have artists working for them, like a I can't think of any names offhand, like a Rob Kaz, you know. He works for a publishing company that owns the rights to produce character art for Disney. And so that publishing company now pays. The only way that they can sell their work is if they have a presence. So they pay Disney to rent that space so that on those weekends they can have their artists there doing signings or whatever. So
they have a couple different artists, whoever, they probably just rotate them out.
Yeah. It's really, to be honest with you, it's really not open to me, again, because I'm under a different contract where they would have to pay me to be there, you know?
That's interesting. Okay.
So instead of putting out money, they want to, it's a revenue source for them, for Disney, rather than, you know, a place where they want to pay money out, you know?
Sure. Absolutely. That makes them, yeah, they want to rent the space. They don't want to pay somebody to be there.
Right. Yeah, they're going to make money on the rental of the space. They're going to make money on
percentage of the art.
Sale of art.
Sure.
You know, and of course the licenses paid, like Wonderground. You see that the Wonderground little kiosk at Disney Springs. You know, that's not Disney. That's Wonderground. They've purchased the license to be able to have those artists create that art. So they're one of the, you'll see Wonderground artists doing signings all the time at Disney Springs. Well, that's, you know, it's because it's the only way that they can, you know, profit, you know, and of course Disney makes a portion of all of that. So
right. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of, special events, you know, through Disney. Like for instance, I mean, they did have me as a guest for Flower and Garden when my Flowers and Figment piece premiered. I was at the Art of Disney at Epcot. I did a signing there when we released that piece. I'm assuming that when the Pirates of the Caribbean piece gets released, we'll probably do a signing specifically tied to that piece when that's released. I do things like for the fans all the time. I do, you know, Find Kevin John in the Parks, that sort of thing. Sometimes I'll be in the park all day sketching. For instance, when I was laying out the sketches for the Tiki Room project, I mean, I sat for, I think, 2 days. In front of the Tiki Room and worked on concept sketches and invited people through social media to come up and, you know, sit and chat and take photographs and sign autographs. People would buy my art in the galleries and bring it on over. And then I would, you know, personalize it and do some special stuff on it for them and that sort of thing. So that's always cool. Once a year, I do a Christmas card giveaway where I hand draw Disney themed Christmas cards. And we kind of do a special one day in December where I go to the parks. And if you find me, then you get one of these signed Christmas cards. And
that's cool.
That's really a lot of fun.
How awesome.
Yeah, I really love my fan base. They're so incredibly loyal and, you know, have given me a career for, you know, for 30 years. And so anytime that I can, you know, treat them, I do. We do on my Facebook page. Every Wednesday we do Fan Reward Wednesday, and it's either a giveaway or a contest, or we offer a special pricing on art. We're always coming up with fun things. You know, we just premiered Kevin John Wine back in October, so we just did a giveaway of some wine, and we're starting the Kevin John Coffee Company that premieres in July, so we'll be doing some giveaways with that.
Wine.
It's really great California wineries, you know, that we've partnered with for the Kevin John wine. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than the Napa wines, and then there's the Honduras Coffee Company that we have partnered with for the coffee. It's all free trade organic, fair trade organic coffee, and it's packaged stateside here, but it's originally mm-hmm. from Honduras, and it's amazing. The level of flavor is insane. You're going to love the coffee. So all of these products have, you know, my art incorporated, you know, on the labeling or whatever. So there's that component. And of course we have, you know, a full gift line available, and I just, started a new company, which is, apparel based. So that will be making the announcement later this year.
I think it's fantastic just the outlook you have of your fans and people that appreciate your art. That you know, I don't know that, and I know you don't speak for every artist, but I don't know that every artist looks at it that way, that would be that accessible out in the parks and invite people just to stop and say hello. I would imagine a lot of, and I'm not just talking about just artists that do, I'm talking about just about any art, actors,
yeah.
You know, voice actors, whatever. Right. I don't think a lot of them are that accessible and look at it through the same lens as you do, that look, these people, they've been paying my right. salary since I've been doing this. So I, you know, in some ways you feel like you owe it
exactly.
to them, which is fantastic. Cause I don't think a lot of people have that same.
Thank you, Jimmy. Well, I look at it this way, you know, I've asked for this. You don't go into this industry the way that I went into it. You know, I'm not a loft artist, you know, that I don't sell my work in art galleries, you know, through art dealers. You know, that's not.
No, you're out there selling.
Yeah, that's never been me. I've always been, you know, forefront with this. And you don't ask for this level of popularity that people will purchase the work at the rate that they do and pay the prices that they do without expecting that other side. It's like, again, don't become an actor and then complain about being asked for an autograph. You know, don't
right.
become an athlete
right.
and complain about the fans wanting a piece of you. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's an incredible honor to be able to do this, and for people to I always say it this way, and it really hit me when I bought my first home. And you know, there's, I don't care what size house you have, there is a limit to how much art you can have, because there's a limit to the wall space. And I can remember being very selective as to what I put on those walls, you know, whose art or what type of decor I use to take up that real estate in this house. And to think that people give me real estate in their home, these places that they pay all this money for and work for 30 years to pay for and raise families in, and they've chosen my depiction of whatever to decorate their home and to take up space in that home, I can't think of a more incredible honor than that. So to be able to say thank you because I give someone, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes of my time to chat and to just be kind is is such a little thing, you know, to me, that in a way that I can try and repay, you know, for the honor of being blessed with this opportunity, you know. So and you know, guys, I'm a fan as well. If I were to walk through the park and run into Tony Baxter, or, you know, any number of, you know, Marty Sklar, I mean, I would lose my mind, you know. I have a personal connection with Rolly Crump, where before this Disney thing was even on the horizon, we communicated in regards to my art and just my respect for him and his imagination and some of the influence that he has had upon me. And then he was, you know, one of the first people that I contacted when I signed my contract, you know, to let him know what was going on. And you know, he sent me this, you know, beautiful picture of his art and signed it to me. And, you know, it's sitting 2 feet away from me here in my studio, you know, and so I understand how special the connection can be with the fans and us who interpret the things that we all love about Disney. So I never take it for granted.
Well, say, this is what is about to blow my mind, because last year I bought the Disney Park Figment print. Uh-huh. Because I have I love Figment so much. And I am a little bit nerdly ashamed that I did not realize that I had a piece of your art already. Uh-huh. Until you mentioned it. And so I pulled it up after you mentioned it. I went, wait a minute, I bought that last year because I loved it so much. So you awesome. Have taken up space in my home. And
thank you
very much. I appreciate that very much. For bringing art into my home. So
thank you. That's wonderful. And I think that's one of the tough disconnects with Disney is, you know, you can imagine there's, you know, thousands of people on a daily basis that will go through the galleries and consume the artwork, you know, and there's just no possible way for me to, you know, meet and introduce myself to each and every one. I get the reports on what is being sold, you know, so I know the amount of art that of mine that Disney is moving. I know that I just, you know, I know a very small percentage of those folks, you know, and I'd love to have the opportunity to thank each and every one of them, you know.
Right.
Well, I think the thing is that, you know, so I think the biggest thing is that being personable and being accessible, and I understand you can't meet them all, but I think it creates, I definitely think it creates, what's the word? It just, you know, it just makes people want to come back to you because of that type. And I'll tell you a story. Me and my wife bought a piece, I was given a piece of art that was done by Larry Dodson that my mom had mm-hmm. given me. And we happened to be in the parks a year later, and he was at the Art of Disney uh-huh. Epcot. So he ended up buying two more pieces, and he, you know, just the time it took for him just to sit and chat with us and talk about the piece and personalize it to us and sign it. Man, so how fantastic is that as a fan? And it just creates a sense of loyalty. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Absolutely. I've been doing that since I was 17.
That's fantastic.
The first time that I did that I had a public showing of my art was an art festival in my hometown shortly after I graduated from high school. And of course, there were other artists there. Many were twice my age. Nobody was my age. So these were all veterans. And you know, within the first couple hours, you know, I'm looking up and down the row of artists, and you know, they're all in their tents or their booths, and, you know, they're sitting kind of in the back of the booth on a stool and really not engaging people, not talking to anyone. And people just kind of wander in and out of their booth and, you know, okay, that's nice. And they move on to the next one. Well, I, you know, put myself right outside of my booth. I dressed in a suit because that's how my dad dressed when he went to work. And I'm at work, so I'm wearing a suit. You know, I dressed up and presented myself with business cards and brochures and shook everybody's hand and explained the art to people and attached myself, my personality, my, you know, who I am to the art. And, you know, immediately, you know, people started buying the work, you know, three or four times the rate that they were buying from anybody else up and down the street. And I was nowhere near one of the better artists that were there. For God's sakes, I was 17 years old. But it occurred to me immediately that, you know, I mean, engage people and, you know, it is sales, yes, but
I was gonna say, look, so I've worked in sales pretty much my whole life, right? And my old boss would, just what you just explained, he would say that's what the sizzle is.
That's right.
Is. He said, you can buy a steak at any grocery store for 10, 12 bucks, but you go to a restaurant and spend 40. Why? Because of the sale.
Right, right, right. And you want...
Because you're not just the artist, you're selling. Yeah. You're out there, and, you know, you're building relationships.
And it's an experience, you know? Yep. Again, you can consume art in any way. You know, you can go to a Target and buy a framed piece of garbage that they have there, and or go online or whatever, go to an art fair or whatever. You know, when someone buys art from me, I love to do everything I can to make an experience for them. You know, that's mm-hmm. really what I, sure. You know, it's about the story, you know,
I think it's that much more important to them too, because they know, you know what, when they look at that paintings hanging on their wall, that print hanging on their wall, they're going to go back to that experience. It's not just about the piece of art. It's about the memory and the experience surrounding it.
Exactly. And, absolutely. You know, it's nothing that I invented. It's just stuff that I have stolen from other industries, you know, watching what other people do in different businesses and then, you know, incorporate that into mine. I don't run this like an art. I run this like a business. And that's been, from my opinion, that's been the difference for my company over the years.
Well, something you said, Kevin John, really reminded me of when our co-host Jennifer and I interviewed Lee Cockrell, and he was talking about kindness. And yes. How important kindness was in business. And I think that you really embodied that. Kindness does matter in business, and people are going to want to buy and support from people who they feel are kind and caring to the community, and realize that the people that are buying their art are people and not just a nameless consumer. Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely. It is all about the money, but it is not all about the money. You know, it is a wonderful double-edged sword, I guess, where you know, the one side is, you know, this is my job, it's my career, it's how I make my living. However, you can go about that in a way where you can be kind to people and treat them with respect and try and bring some light to their life. And you know what? Selfishly, I get it back so much, you know, it
absolutely,
you know what I mean? It's as rewarding absolutely. For me. I have, one of the things that I learned very early, just mere weeks after I premiered my first piece of art back in high school, I was taught a lesson. I was asked by a local charity to donate some of my art to this function that they were having. And, you know, I didn't really know what to do. I went to my art teacher who had been a great advisor to me. And I said, you know, I'm trying to make some money here. And you tell me, meaning my art teacher told me never to give art away for free. You know, always place value on your art. So what am I supposed to do with this donation thing? And she gave me great advice in that she said, don't ever say no. Always give something, but make sure that there's some recompense in the way that they display your art, the way that they promote you. Make sure you're at the event to meet people. So she told me she taught me how to monetize it, you know, to make it good for my business. But the spirit of the whole thing was never say no, because it's very, very good for the soul and it's very good for your community and everything. So it was something that I've been very, very proud to have carried forth over, you know, more than a quarter century now. We've raised well over $500,000 for charitable concerns around the country and with my art. And I'm very, very proud of that. But again, it that just kind of goes back to that same conversation: kindness, thinking about community, trying to be the best person that you can be, and enrich people through the art in as many ways as you can.
Well,
I think that's a fantastic. Just I think it's just a great point of view and just a kind of a good just mantra to live by.
Absolutely, I can tell that you live with a lot of gratitude, and I believe that is the way to be successful in life is to live with gratitude, and success comes to you.
Yeah.
And I think that you have grasped that wonderfully.
Thank you.
All right, Kevin John. Man, we have taken up enough of your time. Can you tell everyone who's listening the best way to get in touch with you personally, and the best way to purchase art, wine, whatever it is that they may want? So how can people reach you?
Okay, couple of ways. The most intimate contact that I have is through Facebook. It's Kevin John, Kevin-John, and then my last name, which I don't use professionally, but it's on the Facebook, Jobinski, J-O-B-C-Z-Y. N-S-K-I. It's a mess, but that's it. Kevin John Jobinski. Friend me there. Follow me there. I communicate constantly with fans. I work on projects daily in my studio, and I upload videos and photos of everything. And if you want to get on those lists to be the first ones to be able to purchase the concept sketches for Disney, or the original art, or even commission your own, that's the way to do it. The studio store is kevinjohnstudio.com. That's all of my non-Disney art is there to purchase and to enjoy. We are rebuilding kevinjohn.com right now, which is the main website. All this stuff will be housed there eventually. We're rebuilding that right now. And then, of course, my Disney art is exclusive to the Disney parks, both on the, both in Florida and California. You can go to the Disney shopping app and purchase it there if you're remote and can't get to the parks. But you walk into any of the Art of Disney galleries and ask for Kevin John art, and they'll be able to direct you right to it. But Facebook, that's the thing, man. We have a lot of fun here, and that's the way to kind of really be on the inside track. Oh, and we just started a newsletter too, so you'll be able to find out more about the Kevin John coffee and the wine and all the new stuff that we're doing for this year through the newsletter. Come to the Facebook, and you can enter the newsletter that way to get on the list. And it's just I've got a great team that heads up the marketing end of my company, and Houston is amazing. He's great. He is my He is my Roy Disney. And I love the guy to death. He's done an amazing job for me. So shout out to Houston. Hello. And Figment Consultants. That's the name of his company. Can you imagine?
No way.
That we got put together. I know. It was really it was a clandestine star-crossed meeting.
Serendipity.
The chances of us being at the same place at the right time was a million bazillion to one, and he has made the difference for me. I tell him all the time. He is my Roy to his Walt, I guess. So.
Awesome.
I come up with the crazy ideas and tell him to go figure out how to do it, how to get it done, and it's been amazing to have him on board.
That is fantastic. That's awesome.
That's great.
Kevin John, man, we really appreciate you coming on. Hopefully one day we can track you down in the parks between the five or six of us. Seems like one of us is there every 2 months, so we'll follow you on Facebook and keep in touch, and I'll keep you in touch with the meetups coming up. We do a great it's all around food and wine, so the Friday night we do what we call a half sample-thon. So the one we did before started in Mexico and worked our way around to American Adventure for the concert this year. We actually had planned it last year, but we ended up being there for Hurricane Matthew, so the meet got canceled. So we're redoing it this year.
Matthew screwed it.
So this year we're going to start in Canada and work our way the other way to American Adventure for the 8 o'clock concert. And then every year we're there. This will be the fourth year in a row we do a scavenger hunt. My buddy Ed, who is the producer of our show, he writes up this great scavenger hunt, and we get a bunch of teams of people and we give away prizes and stuff. And we set them off to go find all kind of crazy stuff in the park. So it's really a good time.
Nice. All right.
Fantastic.
Maybe we'll have to include some Kevin John art in the scavenger. Maybe they'll have to find one of your pieces in one of the stores or something.
I love that.
Oh.
That's great.
Man, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. I know you, especially in your job, you own your own business, so time is money. So we appreciate you taking a little bit of that time and giving it to us and our listeners. So thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. It's been really wonderful. And I truly appreciate it. Let's do this again.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Charlotte. And a special thanks to Kevin John. Can't wait to see you down in the parks. Want to check out your artwork down there, and I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks again for being on the show. If you want to get in touch with the show, ask a question, give your insight, give us an email, thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Check out our Facebook pages, The Disney Nerds Podcast, also The Disney Nerds group page. Well, that's it for show number 179 of The Disney Nerds Podcast. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back.